None of this touched Lisa. She came to school on good days and bad, and behaved accordingly. On good days, she was cheerful and funny and would talk to MN about Brian as just a step in growing up, something that, after all, no one could expect to have lasted forever, and from which she had learned a great, great deal. On bad days, she said nothing to anyone, answering questions in class only with great effort and then almost inaudibly. About this time, I noticed something that MN hadn't. On her bad days, after she and Brian split, Lisa would walk from class to class with Elizabeth Frazier. Not with her exactly, but at her side. She never spoke to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth hardly ever spoke to her. They just walked through the halls together. Elizabeth saying hi to people she knew, and Lisa, hiding behind her, saying nothing. As a matter of fact, it occurred to me that Elizabeth hardly even looked at Lisa as they walked. And if she spoke to her at all, Elizabeth did it out of the side of her mouth, as though the words were being slipped out secretly in case anyone were listening. It was sort of weird. And then, one day, we got down to the nitty-gritty. It was one of Lisa's good days. She had been happy all morning and nearly brilliant in English class, using words even MN hadn't yet discovered. Her face, which is hard to picture because it can change so fast, was lit up, and her cheeks were flushed so that she looked like an ivory soap baby at 16. Simple, clean, and unbelievably beautiful. After English class, we all went to social sciences, which I might say is perhaps the major waste of our time each day. It was a day on which we were supposed to have, and did have, a test. So I rushed on alone to take a few last-minute looks at my notes. After 5 minutes or so, everyone was in class and ready to begin except Lisa and Marinelle. Our teacher passed out blue books and then fiddled around a minute, waiting for the two of them to show up. They didn't, so she passed out the test, face down, and held us up a minute more, still hoping to see Schilling and Fickett arrive. "Betsy," she finally said, "you're near the door. Will you walk back and see what, if anything, is holding up those two girls?" I stood up, frantically trying to find a way to grab my notes to cram with them in the hall. No go. It was natural to go back to where we'd been the hour before. I knew Mr. Milne had a break and wouldn't be around. So it stood to reason that MN and Lisa might still be in his room, fooling around and probably exchanging their notes at the last minute. I opened Mr. Milne's door and looked in. I saw MN right away at Mr. Milne's desk, and I started to laugh. Marinelle looked up at me, and I knew instantly I shouldn't. MN had been bent over as I came in, with her head sort of under the desk altogether, doing something I couldn't see. When she heard me, she looked up terrified and motioned me to be quiet. I was. Then I moved forward a little. "Stop," MN whispered hard. "Just don't come any closer." "What's going on?" I asked. "Never mind," MN hissed. "Just get out of here and get the nerves fast." "But what, will you please just do what I tell you?" MN nearly screamed. Being curious and a little stubborn, I wasn't going to go until I knew what was happening. I walked on tiptoes to Mr. Milne's desk and looked under it. There was Lisa, on her hands and knees, doubled over, busily poking a pin into her wrist. Neatly, rhythmically, precisely, watching tiny drops of blood peep out of each hole she punched. And MN bent down, not saying a word, kept handing her fresh pieces of tissue that Lisa took with a sort of smile to dab at the blood. She would put the tissue to the wound for a second, throw it behind her, and jab again with the pin. She didn't flinch. She didn't say ouch or anything. Just huddled there, busy stabbing and staunching. And MN, powerless to do anything but watch and play her own awful part in the horrible thing.